Okay, I had no idea that September 9th was also the day the PlayStation came out.
Yeah, you think that would have occurred to me. I don't know.
Since that was actually a much more popular, successful system than the Dreamcast, but
I always did know that. I just like figured you guys knew about it, just didn't care about it. That's why I never really brought it up before to you guys, but I knew about that, like, but I just always figured you guys knew about it. You just cared more about the Dreamcast, which probably still is true.
Yeah. Shut the hell up, Fixer! Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 10th, 2010. In this corner from Poland, Ohio, weighing in at probably something like, what, 200 pounds? AJ! Edge Guy Minotti!
Hi.
And in the other corner from Poland, Ohio, weighing in at, I'm going to guess, like 150 to 170 pounds.
185.
One whatever. Kevin, the Fixer, Miller!
Ooh, 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 ooh.
I am your host, Michael Minotti. Gentlemen, let's get ready to podcast!
Awesome.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. Here's what we're doing today. We're going to start off with the news. We got MPDs and all sorts of good stuff to talk about. From there, we're going to go on to the quiz, which may or may not be themed around the PlayStation in celebration of its recent anniversary. After that, we'll go into either or. It's going to be Edge Guy versus Fixer, quite literally. We'll see who comes out victorious. I'm about to say victorious. I was putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Then after that, we'll talk about
vicariously.
Talk about our week in gaming and the new releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get going, Edge Guy. What you got?
Are you drunk?
Shut up. I'm not drunk. Why do you think I'm drunk?
Well, you said something about that on Twitter earlier.
That was a hashtag. Don't pay attention to it.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I've completely
sobered up now.
Okay, good to know.
Look, listen, I may have had some beers during the NFL opener.
All right.
No, we didn't, Mike.
I may have had some Great Eggs Oktoberfest. Great Lakes is a local Cleveland beer.
Lakes.
Yeah, Great Lakes.
What did I say?
Aches.
Great Aches.
Why would twice. I say Aches?
You did it twice.
Look, I said Lakes, clearly.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's start. NPDs.
I'm not drunk.
Okay, you're not drunk.
Listen to me. I'm not. Okay, go.
The hardware winner for the second month running is the Xbox 360 at the top with 357,000 units. Followed by the DS at 343, the Wii at 244, PS3 at 226, and PSP at 79.
It'll be interesting to see September if like Metroid will actually do anything for the Wii, or if Kingdom Hearts will even do anything for the PSP. Although, of course, we're also going to have Halo going to obviously do a lot for 360.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the Move comes out this month, too.
Yes, that's true. But even Sony is trying to like lower our expectations already on the sales of the Move, so I don't know. Did you see did you watch the football game today?
I actually didn't.
Oh, well they debuted a new Kevin Butler commercial.
That's what
awesome.
I heard.
Awesome commercial.
It was pretty funny. That was good stuff.
It was one of the funniest, and I'm not even like trying to say that to like upplay like this new commercial. Mm-hmm. It was just that damn funny. Like even jokes about being on Twitter. You know?
Oh, that was the best part. All right. Anyways, tell us. So basically, I think that was the worst month for the Wii since launch. Actually, I think I read.
Oh, really? Yeah, that might be right.
Yeah, it was. So they need a new game. Tell us the software sales.
Okay. Numbers 1 and 2 are Madden for the 360 and PS3 respectively.
Not a huge shock.
Now, here's what's interesting. Madden was 920,893. Then at 124,000 is Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Whoa, that's a difference.
Yeah.
Nobody bought shit this month except for Madden. I'm glad to see that Mario Galaxy 2 actually has legs. It looks better than it really is because that's pretty low. Sometimes we see a game sell that many units and be like number 10 for the month.
Right.
Not a good month for software sales.
Well, nothing ever comes out but Madden in August. Everyone kind of gets out of the way.
No, I mean, August is... Sorry, Fix, you go ahead.
Very true. Like, I was going to say, like, normally when August comes around, you don't expect much. I was really glad to actually get the new Metroid game, Other M.
Like, even that was August 31st.
Yeah, it was very end of the month, so if you really want to consider August, go for it. But I don't remember really too many titles in my lifetime that I was excited for August launches. If I'm not mistaken, I do believe I could be totally wrong on this, but I think one of the Gran Turismos came out in August.
Maybe. You would be the expert.
Yeah, you
on
would
that.
Know. BioShock was an August release in 07, right?
No, was it? Maybe it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was. You might be right.
Yeah.
But typically, not much is happening in August because it's right before that holiday season.
Right.
But still, I'm glad that Mario is doing well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what the other? You don't have to go through the list exactly because it's pretty much like new Super Mario Brothers for the DS.
Let me just run. It takes 2 seconds. Right. Mafia 2. Yeah, new Super Mario Brothers DS, then new Super Mario Brothers Wii, then Mafia 2 PS3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 in the 360 is on the list again, NCAA for the 360, and then Wii Fit Plus.
A lot of, you know, besides from Mafia, I think Mafia 2 and Madden were the only games that actually came out in August to be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatevs. All right, and there's not much to talk about there, really, I guess, besides Madden being Madden.
Yeah.
What's next?
Next on the list. Just as we were about to start recording, we saw a new trailer was put up for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Aside from being a pretty kick-ass trailer, it reveals yet another new character, Tron Bonne.
See, this is another character from that one list that one guy had. I don't...
Who's that?
Oh, somebody on Destructoid. Destructoid ran this list of every character. I just don't... Tron Bonne, I don't get that. But once again, I know the Mega Man Legends has its fans, but to me that's just a niche. Niche series that just Tron Bonne, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Just get Mega Man in there, okay? These obscure characters are cute and all. Can we put Mega Man in there already? I feel a lot better if we would.
Yeah.
Not to go back to an older comment that I made, but Gran Turismo 3 was the closest to August, and that was July 10th.
Okay. Are you Googling, Fixer?
Wiki.
Are you using Google Instant Search? Because that shit's
yes,
cool.
I was.
I think it's cool.
New Google Instant. I love it. Oh, man, that's great.
All right. Don't get sidetracked now.
Okay. Amazon has made a pretty cool announcement. They are... they've had the release day delivery as an option for Amazon Prime subscribers for some time, where you get free release day delivery. Now, for non-Prime subscribers, you can get release day delivery for 99 cents. So, if you pre-order a game, you can have it arrive at your door, like, the day it comes out. It's like that Tuesday or whatever, for 99 cents shipping, which is pretty cool.
Not bad at all, actually. That's really kind of cool. You don't even have to bother with going out and bothering with the traffic, especially if it's a particularly popular game. And if you're like me, I don't really dig the whole midnight releases too much. Like, a couple games I have, but I don't do it for too many. So you can bypass all that if you want to go for that service. That's pretty damn cool. I'd be willing to spend one extra dollar to not have to worry about that.
Right.
Get it the same day as anybody else by the time I get home from work.
Next! At PAX, they showed the multiplayer mode for Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2 on the Wii.
See, what do you think about this? Or did you still want to explain what it is? Did I cut you off?
It's basically Smash Brothers.
You know what I love, though? I love how, by the way, I love how it looks exactly like Smash Brothers. And like when the one guy was like, so this is like Smash Brothers, like, no. No, it's not like Smash Bros. It's like Capcom versus SNK. I'm like, no, it's not.
He likened it specifically to some older game I'd never heard of. The there was some rolling mechanic that they said was like Capcom versus SNK or something. I don't know.
Just call it spade a spade.
Yeah, it's Smash Brothers. It looks good.
I mean, it's got 8 characters. It's, yeah. I mean, you know.
Right. It's a nice bonus if you're getting the Force Unleashed on the Wii.
I gotta say, I kind of hope it
it's
gotta
get something, you know, to up the other two consoles. I mean,
right.
I'm not trying to like to be like, yeah, the other two consoles are far superior to the Wii, but I mean, better graphics, better, you know, whole physics engines,
right.
And everything like that. I mean, I've played the Wii version of the first Force Unleashed. Yeah, I think the big two consoles do it a lot better. So it's kind of cool that they're giving it something that the other don't have.
I half wonder if a few months down the line we'll see this multiplayer mode as like an XBLA and PSN game for like $10.
Probably not. I mean, the first Force Unleashed, every system had its own sort of exclusive that the other ones never got.
Yeah, there was just like a level or something. It's like a whole mode.
There was like a kind of a fighting mode in one of, I think, the PSP version, actually. If I'm not mistaken.
Really? I don't even know.
But, I mean, I kind of hope it sucks, is my basic point, because otherwise then I have to buy the Wii version of this game also, which I do not want to do.
Fair enough. Borderlands is getting a patch that will up the level cap to level 69.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
I'm sure they knew what they were doing there.
Yes.
Strictly to level 69?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
I think there's one of the DLC does up the level cap. They decided to do it as a free patch, like it evens out the playing field. I guess I don't know. It was really hard to follow for some reason as I was reading it.
Whatever.
That's going to be the case. Okay, BioWare has released some really interesting Mass Effect 2 stats. They called from just the way like the their online network is able to read this stuff. So here's some stats they have for Mass Effect 2. The class most played was the soldier, more than every other class combined.
Sorry. Is the soldier the one that's just basic fighting?
Right. Okay. The big abilities a soldier gets is concussive blast and like a bullet time kind of thing.
Okay.
The least played was the engineer. The average completion time for the game is 33 hours. 80% of players use the face customization system. So that means like they didn't just pick a stock character. 80% played as a male. 50% of the people who start the game finished it. 50% of players imported a save from the first game. There are some people who did a single playthrough in 66 hours, so they did, like, everything. There are two people on the PC who beat Mass Effect 2 28 times. They hold the record.
Interesting.
There are
28 times?
There are four Xbox 360 players who completed the game in 23 times.
And Xbox 360 users have to step it up.
Yeah.
How many times did PlayStation users beat it?
It's not out yet.
I know.
Now, here's what I actually thought was kind of cool. Players skip 15% of conversations in Mass Effect 2, which means most people watched everything, which is, you know, a good sign, I guess. That means, like, you know, the story is engaging and people don't just skip it.
Good point. I got a good point to make. Like,
I want
to
hear your good point, Fixer. Tell me.
I've never really played a Mass Effect game.
I know, and I've told you to. You won't listen.
I know. Everybody's told me to. I really don't have a PC that can play it, and I have a dead Xbox. It's not like I can really get into it. Like, my PC's okay for media, but not really much for gaming.
Come January, I expect you to get this for your PS3 and play it exhaustively.
But no, he can't.
Why not?
That's the thing, because I know that the gimmick of the game is to play the first one.
Exactly.
And that character that you made in the first one, you port over to the second one.
Well, they still have hinted at some kind of way of prologuing
on.
The game. We don't know what it is yet. If it's cool,
listen,
if it's worth it.
You can't do that.
Get your Xbox fixed.
Yeah. No, or whatever. But you have to play. And here's the bad news. The bad news is that Mass Effect 2 is a lot better than Mass Effect 1. But you have
that
to
is
play
true.
Mass Effect
I did
1
hear
first.
That.
You have to play Mass Effect 1 first.
Right now, I mean, I don't have money really to go about buying a 360. So right now, my 360 is a little box on the floor that keeps my PS3 off the floor for better airflow.
That is very appropriate for a Fixer.
Yeah. You know you can get it fixed for $100.
You can get it fixed! Fixer!
Oh, God.
Next.
Before Emily
I
derail Rose.
That too much.
Yeah. Emily Rose, better known as Elena Fisher in Uncharted, made a tweet about recording new dialogue with a hashtag for Uncharted, which made people go, Uncharted 3. Sony to, you know, probably deciding it was better to not disappoint everybody, immediately came out to announce new DLC coming for Uncharted 2. We don't know anything else about it, but that's what she was talking about.
Maybe. Elena's the blonde one.
Yes.
What's that?
That was a weak attempt at a fox call whistle.
I didn't want to do it too loud.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to blow into the microphone.
I don't want to hear your excuse. Okay, that was much better.
That first one was me.
Oh, AJ's, yours is good. I don't know who's... Guys, whistles don't have inflections. I can't tell who's doing them.
This is Fixer.
This is AJ.
Oh, Fixer, you just got fixed. I am sorry. That guy just totally fixed up in your grill.
I never was a good whistler, but oh well.
I can't whistle, so there. I admit it.
That is true.
I always admire the people that, like, whenever I go to, like a football game or something like that, and they, you know, they get, like, the two fingers in the mouth and be like...
Oh, I know. I wish I could do that. Oh,
I said next.
Okay. At PAX, Jonathan Blow decided to be sneaky and unveiled his new game called The Witness without telling anybody.
I don't know much about it. It's a
first-person kind of adventure game on an uninhabited island. If you're thinking Myst, you're not too far from what it looks like.
So you know Jonathan Blow, he made Braid. Did you miss that?
I know another cool game that got shown off a little bit more at PAX. It wasn't built at PAX, but it got shown off a little bit more. It's called Spy Party? Yeah, that's it. Spy Party.
Is the Disney
coming,
one?
That's coming out. Well, that was in the same booth as this game was, actually, so it's kind of relevant.
Oh, okay, there we go.
It was, like, in the same corner. He hit it with Spy... It was Spy Party, The Witness, and some other independent game were all next to each other. The Disney game is Guilty Party or something.
That's it, yeah.
Different.
So, yeah.
Max,
I'd like to comment on this, because I don't know much about it. But
you don't have to say something to every story. If you don't have anything, you could just be quiet.
All right.
How dare you tell the Fixer to be quiet? I'll fix you right now.
No, you won't. I'm in Pittsburgh.
I know where you live.
I'll come get you. What's
and
next?
Google knows where you live. So you're screwed.
Shut up, everybody. I want to say something about The Witness.
What?
I think it'll be cool.
Yes.
You know what I got to say about The Witness?
That guy made Braid, and Braid was cool.
You know what I got to say about The Witness?
What?
We are not all witnesses.
Oh, my God. Get fixed.
God. Okay, I'm going to move on. Also from PAX, I saw this on Twitter, and I haven't been able to really find anyone else talking about it, but apparently at his panel, Major Nelson said that the monochromatic colors on the new Xbox 360 controller's face buttons is just for the prototype, and seem to indicate that the retail release will have color.
Well, I hope so, because that's dumb.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Next.
I agree. And
yeah, Fixer agrees.
I am one of those peeps who do prefer the DualShock. Yeah, I'm school, whatever the fuck. Fuck you.
Oh my gosh,
care.
Fixer prefers the DualShock. I don't believe it.
That's not even me trying to be PS fam.
Oh, it's shut
just,
up. Yes, it
I
is.
Just, I don't mean to be. I just happen to be. I don't mean to be.
It was completely unprovoked.
I don't mean to be.
You basically just came out and said, by the way, the PlayStation has a better controller.
But what I'm saying here is it's making it closer to the PlayStation D-pad from what I've read.
It's making it closer to the beautiful standard that Sony has.
I like it.
Their majestic douche.
I like it. Therefore, I can really like the... That was the only thing that was holding me back from the 360 controller was the D-pad. I hated it. So now that it's getting close to a very accurate and good D-pad, I may like it.
They could put that on the box. Almost as good as the DualShock.
Almost as good as the DualShock 3. Fixer approved. They have me with a picture of my thumb up on it.
Fixer's kind of like holding it like going, yeah, you know. Like,
yeah,
it's almost good.
Thumb up.
All right, next.
Next. Square Enix has announced Dissidia, Duodecim, Final Fantasy 012. I really want to go over there and explain to them how numbers work.
Just call it Dissidia 2. Look, for our intents and purposes, it's the sequel to that Final
Dissidia
Fantasy
2,
fighting game on the PSP. That was surprisingly cool.
Yes.
So
that's all we know. But,
well, they have two characters announced. Kane from Final Fantasy 4 and Lightning from Final Fantasy 13.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that this means like we can get some of those secondary characters in from the other games. let's get Locke in there from Final Fantasy VI. Balthier from 12.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be all over that, wouldn't you, AJ?
I would.
Did you say
I like Balthier?
Kane or King?
No, Kane.
Kane.
The Dragoon from Final Fantasy IV. I don't think you play much of 4, Fixer.
No. That's why I said he was in Soul Reaver.
Yeah, Kane, that's... Yeah, he was not in a Final Fantasy game. Next.
Also, Square Enix has announced, after vehemently saying several times that this would never happen, they've announced Final Fantasy XIII coming to the 360 in Japan. For, like, the three people over there who have a 360 but not a PS3.
Right. Well, you know.
Maybe they just figured, might as well? I don't know.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been too hard to just take the code they had for the 360 version of, Final Fantasy XIII for America and insert the Japanese stuff that they already have made.
Right.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'm not a programmer, but...
You know, I had basic programming in college so far, and I couldn't even imagine it being that much different from being, like, everything except for vocal tracks going copy-paste. I mean, you do get that option.
Next!
Next.
Next!
They've announced a second Miles Edgeworth game.
I saw this, and it pleased me. It made me happy to be Mikey Minotti.
Objection!
Hold it!
Take that!
What's going on?
Well, weren't you at rehearsals?
I guess not.
Anyways, I'm happy about this. I mean, you know, I like how they made like that one spin-off game with, what was that guy's name who wasn't Phoenix Wright?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they made like the Phoenix Wright 4. Except
yeah.
It wasn't Phoenix Wright. It was like his protege. He wasn't as cool as Phoenix Wright. So they're like, we'll just make the games about Miles Edgeworth instead. So, you know, I approve of this direction. Miles Edgeworth was pretty cool. And that last game was pretty awesome, actually. So I'm very happy about this. Next.
Okay. To no great surprise, Microsoft has formally announced the 250GB Xbox 360 Kinect bundle for $400.
Wee.
Okay, moving on. The final story we have is details on the creation aspects of Mega Man Universe.
Woo!
Yes. The level creator looks like your kind of standard grid-based drop tiles, make levels kind of deal. Pretty simple, but they have, like, they tease, like, tiles from even different games, like Ghosts and Goblins and things like that, so.
Pretty cool.
And they also talked a little bit about how making your own characters will work. It's basically, like, swap in and out body parts. Heads and arms and stuff like that, but like different parts will have a different power or ability attached to them. So yeah,
I am pretty excited. I am feeling it.
It's also, I don't know if they ever said this for sure or not, but it is an XBLA and PSN game.
Right, I think that was already announced, and last week we were talking about it like we didn't know. So apologies.
Right.
At least I was talking about it like I didn't know. You didn't stop me though.
Eh.
All right, so you're ready for the quiz, Dan? Is what you're telling me?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Great American Announcer Gaming Quiz. Fixer kind of saw me make the quiz, AJ, so you're on your own.
Oh, great.
Too bad because it's about the PlayStation, which is...
Yeah.
You may have told it's kind of Fixer's forte. All right, here we go. Question one. The PS1, as in literally the PS1, the redesign of the original PlayStation, was released in what year?
2004?
2000. Way off.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, what was I thinking? My math was really wrong on that.
Maybe the PS2 came out then.
No, I meant to go, I meant to say...
PS2 Slim was 04, so you
I meant
got
to,
that one.
Yeah,
that.
I meant to think like a year sooner than PS2, but I did a year sooner than PS2.
Remember like keep the going. First PlayStation kind of looked like a...
No, I know exactly. I mean, I just was being stupid. Continue.
Okay. Hey, did you know that they made a new version of the PlayStation at one point?
Yes.
Next. Did the original PlayStation sell more or less than 100 million units?
More?
Correct.
Good.
130 million. Question three. How much memory in either bytes or blocks did the original PlayStation memory card hold?
128 blocks?
Go by blocks, man. What?
128 blocks.
15 blocks, actually.
the hell am I
this
thinking
This is old school,
What are you
man.
Thinking of? This is 1995.
Old school.
Jesus.
I can't say anything, though, because earlier when we were looking up that answer, you did ask me that, and I was thinking 12, so I can't exactly go off and think that I'm high shit either. So.
You're a lot closer than Ads Guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, question four. The PlayStation was launched in what month in Japan back in 1994?
May?
It wasn't May, although I wrote down 2008 as the answer. Which makes no
2 years
sense.
Ago, huh? Screw that PlayStation 3.
That's my least favorite month of the year.
2008, I think it was January. What the hell?
You think it was January?
Was I that drunk?
Do you want me to look up the answer?
Yeah, you look up that answer while we go on.
No, no, you don't touch your computer. Your computer's...
Oh, yeah, you're right. You never mind, Fixer. It's
too late.
This is what happened. You're Googling and doing things, and it's a mess. All right, AJ, question five. What year was the first Ridge Racer released in arcades?
In arcades?
Uh-huh. It was a launch title for the original PlayStation, but...
Yeah.
December.
Thank you.
1994?
You know what I love? I love that I heard a three, AJ.
Yeah. What was the
bonus
question? Go back to that question. What was that question one more time?
What year was the first Ridge Racer released in arcades?
Arcades?
Yeah.
That was 1993?
That's what we just said.
Mixer.
No, I mean, like, that was the answer to it? Like, 1993?
Yes.
Wow. You were just...
No, I heard you say the answer. That's what I was just
he
going
just
like,
doesn't
wow,
believe
really?
You.
Listen, we're moving
yeah.
on.
I'm at disbelief. I didn't know it came out before the console came out, to be honest.
Of course it had to have, if it was a launch title.
I didn't know that.
Quiet, you.
You be
Next.
Quiet. I was
Bonus
like
question.
Eight back then.
Hush.
Shut up.
Who was an exclusive unlockable character in the PC version of Battle Arena Toshinden?
Me.
Good lord.
I'll give you a clue. He's the main character of a then-popular video game series. Another clue. Then-popular.
What company made Battle Arena Toshinden? I'm trying to remember.
Remember, this was 1994 through 1995 that the console came out. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think of companies who had... now forgotten characters.
Give him that hint at least, Mike. Who made Toshinden?
Dude, I don't think it even helps, honestly. So, I'm not going to give you that. I don't even remember who made Toshinden.
Is it a character by that company, though?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure not.
Okay.
I don't know. Gex the Gecko?
Not too far away. Earthworm Jim.
Wow, oh. Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's surprising.
I feel like I might have known this. I can't tell. All right.
I didn't know that.
Well, you guys ready cool. to play either or?
Yes.
I don't know what either or is. Can you explain
Listen,
that to me?
I'm going to tell you. Here's how either or works, Fixer. I'm going to start with AJ, and then it goes AJ, you, AJ, you. There's 10 questions here. There's 10 rounds, let's say. I'm going to give you one thing or the other. Like, I'm going to say chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. You have to tell me which one you would pick and why. Then I give a point whoever I think has the best argument.
Okay.
And then at the end, there's a lightning round. I'll explain the lightning round when we get to it, but the lightning round is more points. So first, I score everybody for each one. All right, AJ.
Yes.
Duke Nukem Forever. Excited or unenthused?
I am excited just for, like, novelty's sake. Like, Just the same way, like, you might be at the fair with your buddies and you all maybe were drinking beforehand and someone invites you to see the world's biggest rat and you know it's going to be dumb and you've heard of it before, but you just go in just to see it, to say you did it. So is my interest in Duke Nukem Forever. Just to say I finally played it, it's done, and we can all move on with our lives. I think it'll be also, like, it'll be amusing. I don't think it's going to be, like, a groundbreaking first-person shooter, but, you know, good times can be had.
Fixer.
I'm a little bit of both on this one.
Fixer, first rule of either or.
Yeah, no waffling.
No waffling.
Let me explain before.
No, there's no explanation. You
no, go ahead, explain then. I get the point.
I'm going to explain it, and I do have a more definite side. Mostly it's I'm not excited for it. But at the same time, I do have the Mii from, what was it, 1994 or 5, the game came out.
The first that, one.
For the 3D.
Right, right. Whatever.
Where, yeah, you know, that's cool. You know, a new one coming out. And we've only been teased about this for so long. And it's cool that we're finally getting to see it come to light of day after so many delays, after so many cancellations like that. But watching pretty much a character that came out of They Live on today's entertainment media doesn't really excite me too much. Kicking ass and chewing bubblegum, not really the coolest catchphrases anymore. Watching the O.J. Simpson, you know, chase, which was on one of the TVs in the bar scene in, like, the opening chapter. Okay, that was cool back then, but now, you know, I'm going to be watching, you know, pretty much what I'm going to be getting out of this game is pretty much what I would be getting out of watching the movie The Expendables. Cool, nostalgic, old action type of deal, old, like, old movie type of feel, old video game type of feel in this case, but it's not going to be, like, the new stuff, you know. It's not going to be like the Call of Duty. It's not going to be, like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of even Halo, but it's not even going to be Halo for me. It's not going to be a good modern first-person shooter, in my opinion. But, you know, I still want to see it.
All right.
But I'm not really looking for
it.
I have to see what it does, though.
I was thinking Fixer for a little bit. He was convincing me. He dragged on a little bit too long with his argument, though. Point Edge guy.
Boom!
Yes!
Dragged on just a little bit. All right, Fixer, you start. Kevin Butler, is he overplayed or still hilarious?
That man's my father, so he's still hilarious. You know, if you watch the football game tonight, there's no way that guy is overplayed.
Last night, Fixer, please, this is going up on Friday.
Oh, okay. If you watched the game last night, then, and technically it is last night now anyway, so, right. Yeah, he's still relevant. Love it. And please, Sony, make more of these, because I've been a faithful 4 years of 15 years now, and you've never had a good commercial series run this long. So, still awesome. Still keep going with it. Don't stop.
AJ.
Well, I didn't see this commercial from last night yet, but I still enjoy the antics of Kevin Butler. There was a little bit of a period, I think, around E3 when I thought it was going too far, but
you
they actually kind of pulled
it. Tired of it, weren't you?
Yeah, but I think they kind of they pulled it back a little bit, and I think it's back to a good place. And they're certainly better than the Marcus ones, because at least like it's like a guy who works at Sony, whereas it's just some kid for some reason.
Oh,
but anyway,
I agree.
Yeah, but yeah, I do enjoy the KB. Also, his tweets are quite entertaining. I do enjoy those as well. So,
okay, point Fixer. Two reasons. First off, because he said Kevin Butler was his father. Second off, because I don't like AJ losing faith in Kevin Butler, ever.
Oh,
whatever, at one point you did it. All right, next. AJ, what are we going to get first? Half-Life 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3?
I like this one.
Well, at this point, I think Half-Life 3. I think with the amount of time that's gone by and Gabe Newell's kind of maniacal laughter last week, I think that is going to be the big thing, is they're just moving on. Half-Life 3 is going to be the next step. There is no Episode 3. Like, I don't even see what's the gain of doing it now. Because, frankly, if it takes you this long to make a 6 to 8 hour game, that's not good. But if it's taking you this long to make the next proper Half-Life, that's fine. So I say Half-Life 3.
Fixer.
And I have to totally agree with him now. Because when was the last one came out? What?
2007.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, 3 years? Like, all right, Half-Life 2 came out in 2004, and if I'm not mistaken, they had Episode 1 come out, what, 2005?
I think so, 5 or 06.
05 or 06, then it was, you know, like we just discussed for Episode 2. You know, 3 years? Really? For, I mean, both those expansion packs, I think Episode 2 lasted around 6 hours, but nothing more, or at least for me. I don't see how Episode 3, if they did anything with it, with this long of a wait, How can you expect people to be satisfied with only at least 6 hours? That would be foolish, absolutely foolishness for a company of Valve stature to expect just, you know, their fan base, which has been around them so long and still, you know, still strong even through all this. You know, I expect, you know, like Portal 2 coming out next year, and I expect, you know, not TGS obviously, but maybe we could probably see something maybe next E3 as far as the next continuation of the story. Honestly, I expect the I don't even think it's really done specifically by Valve, but I think it's like a third party type of team doing like the Black Mesa, you know, episode, I don't know, Half-Life 1. It's redone in Source.
Oh, that Black Mesa Source thing?
Yeah, I'm expecting that to come out before anything, basically, okay, to any type of new continuation of the story. But yeah, I expect number 3 before, if I had to expect in that, you know, Half-Life 3 before episode. So I expect full-fledged Half-Life episode.
All right. 10. Point, AJ. Fixer dragged your point on too long, and you're mostly agreeing with AJ. So point,
yeah,
AJ.
I mean, there's nothing I couldn't disagree with.
I understand. It happens. It's like the draw sometimes. You can't disagree for disagreement's sake, but sometimes you can offer a better argument. It's a tough game. But here, you get to go first this time.
True that.
Portal 2. Is it already the 2011 Game of the Year or not?
You know, that's unfair to say. Because, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's the first big game that we've seen of 2011. But I can't say that it's going to be the game of the year. I mean, there's so much more content that could possibly come out. I mean, we haven't seen anything that any of the three consoles are going to do. We haven't seen anything that's really going to be big coming out, even on the PC market, that's going to come out. I wouldn't say it's going to be Game of the Year, at least until E3 and next year, you know, when you will start seeing some things come out for 2011. But at this point stage, I'm not going to say yes, but I'm also not going to say no. No, it's too early to tell.
AJ.
I say yes. Did you see that trailer?
I saw that trailer.
It's awesome.
I wanted to say that's one of the best, that new co-op trailer, one of the best trailers I've ever seen for anything.
Basically, here's what it is. You take what was one of the best games of 2007. You double its length, add a really cool new character who's like a companion with you. So basically, it's like the companion cube now talks with the same excellent writing they had from the first game. Then take that amount of content, do it again as a co-op campaign with these two like really awesome-looking robot characters who somehow managed to have more emotion than most characters you see in a video game based on this two-minute trailer I watched. Yes, I will be happy to play this, and unless something surprising happens, I could very easily see that being my Game of the Year, 2011.
Point, Fixer. Here's what you forgot, AJ.
Huh?
We might be due for a new Uncharted. 2011.
I don't think it's going to happen in 2011.
Why not? Two years between one and two.
I know.
All right. AJ. Battle of the platformers for the holiday season. Epic Mickey or Little Big Planet 2?
Epic Mickey. I agree with you. Little Big Planet 2 is going to be good, but it's Epic Mickey. I mean, this is like Warren Spector tapped into our imaginations and said, "Oh, this is the game they want to play," and made it. Okay, I am so stoked for this game. They after seeing the second part of the intro last week. Like, it's going to be so good, and I'm so excited for it. So, yes, I have to pick Epic Mickey.
Thanks, sir.
I'm going to have to go with Epic Mickey, too. Don't get me wrong, I am truly excited for Little Big Planet. The other night, you were even asking me, like, release date. You know, I looked up that up for you, and it looks cool. You know, and I like what you can do and create with it, but you're giving me a game where I can take Disney's most revered character of all time, and I can make him an evil asshole. How much better can you get that? You take the most child-loving, you know, the best logo, best spokesperson, doesn't even really have to even talk, and make him more evil than a Sith Lord. I like that. I'm going to go with Epic Mickey.
Point Fixer. AG just pretty much gushed and talked about how awesome it was going to be. Fixer at least gave me a reason. I wonder if I would have given somebody the point if they had picked Little Big Planet 2, though, instead, huh?
Yeah.
We'll never know now. Fixer. Special editions for video games, in general. Yay or nay?
Well, to me, overall, I'm going to have to say yay. But only on a certain condition. You have to make it worth my while. You basically have to give me a reason why I want to spend the extra money. If you're just throwing in an art book, no, not at all. If you're giving me some type of collectible, like a little action figure, I really like one of the ones that are coming out this year, I really like. I like both Gran Turismo and Little Big Planet. Because Gran Turismo is giving me a model car. If I'm not mistaken, I do believe it's a Mercedes. Nice best car to begin with. And I can, you know, put that on my dresser, you know, take it to work, be like, yeah, get my sweet fucking car. And Little Big Planet's cool too, because you get a little plush sack boy. That's pretty damn cool, man. As long as the collectible is right or the packaging is right, I'm gonna say yes. And even like look at Bioshock 2's. You got a vinyl, not just a CD, a vinyl. So the best audio quality you could possibly get, better than even CD. And yes, you could argue that, but whatever. Okay, if you really know audio, vinyl's better. Of the soundtrack. That's awesome. And yes, so yes, I'm going to have to say collectibles, as far as expansion packs go, or collector sets, I mean, go. Yeah, I'm for. Just, they have to be.
Hedge guy.
I have to say, in general, no. Sometimes you get really good ones. Blizzard, I think, is a good example of people give you good collector's editions. But so many of them are just like an art book, a soundtrack, and like extra armor for your character in the game. And art books, I don't know, sometimes they're cool, sometimes I don't really... It's concept art for a video game that doesn't look anything like the game. Whatever. Soundtracks, I mean, I like them, but a lot of them nowadays, it's like you get like a limited soundtrack with the game, and you still have to buy the standalone soundtrack if you want all the tracks anyway. And, you know, like you look at like what you got with the StarCraft II Collector Edition, which was, yes, an art book and a comic book. You got both of the original StarCraft games for free. You got the DVD with the cinematics and actual like behind the scenes with the developers and everything. And it's in really nice packaging, too. That's the other thing that the WoW CEs do good, is the packaging is really nice. A lot of them are just like a bigger box with, you know, some stuff thrown in it. So, generally, I don't think for the average person they're anything to get excited about. Certainly not for, like, the, you know, sometimes $20 to $40 premium. If it's a game you're a fan of, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo you for doing it. God knows I've bought a lot of CEs that people thought were dumb, but it was a game I liked, so that's cool. But generally, I don't think that, like, you're getting anything all that great.
Good points by both. Gonna have to give the point to AJ. By the way, does anybody actually, like, look at that art book more than once?
No, that's what I'm saying, no. Yeah.
That's why I said, I don't want an art book. I want, you know, basically I want something that's gonna break the fourth wall, you know? Give me something, some type of tangible value. Don't just give me something that I could buy through the PSN or Xbox, no, Xbox Live. Give me something I can't get, that only I can get, that other people can't get.
Right.
If you could do that, I'm for. And, you know, you don't have to go gung-ho and make a shitload of copies. Just make them, make enough to where, like, the truly elite fans of a series are really going to fit. And if you do that, I'm cool.
Hey, Kevin, I already got the point.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I'm just adding.
Point Fixer. I'm joking. All right. AJ.
Congrats on it.
Spider-Man, Shattered Dimensions. Care or don't care?
Not really. First of all, I watched the videos for this game. Why do the graphics not look good? It's Spider-Man.
I like that question.
It's a big deal. He's a big character. Why can't he get a game that looks like Mass Effect 2, frankly.
Or Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, Batman is a fantastic-looking game with a fully realized world. This game like, from what I've read of all the reviews of it, too, this, I like, what little interest I had in it passed after I read the reviews, because apparently, like, each chapter has the four acts and the four different universes. You can play the universes in any order, so there's no linear story, and it doesn't even all come together until the last level. So, like, it just sounds like it's disconnected as an excuse to just get all these different characters into it. You know, some people may have not liked the open world aspects of some of the older Spider-Man games, but at least like it let you swing around the city, which in itself was like about the most fun thing you could do. Frankly, if I'm Spider-Man, I don't want to do button mashing combat. That's not what he's about at all. Like, and I just don't feel like they need the Batman Arkham Asylum of Spider-Man games. The game that finally figures out the essence of Spider-Man and how to bring that out in a video game. And until they've done that, and until they make it look like it actually had some money put into it, and they tried, and I know it's just mean getting Neil Patrick Harris to do a voice, although that is kind of cool, I don't care.
Fixer.
Yeah, I agree with Age. The game, graphically, has never really been impressive. And I don't mean to be hating on, but the game looks like a Wii game. It's available on both Xbox and PlayStation. But it's a case where, Let's face the fact. You really hold into Spider-Man's. It's a, and if you really want to show that off, show how gritty the character, get a decent visualization, and you're not finding that in this type of game. So it's, you're gonna need something to replay a character and struggle over to. No, to the two big consoles, and you have to have a game. On top of that, gameplay wise, presentation wise, especially, you have to have something that's, you know, this generation, this era, and it's just not captivating. Reminds me of very last gen. Reminds me of like the early Spider-Man games as far as presentation, not gameplay. Cause I agree with AJ where, you know, the open world. You know, I like that. That was kind of cool. And I'm just not feeling presentation-wise. It feels like a teen-rated type of comic game. I'm not saying it has to be mature, where they MF this, MF that, and it has to be bloody, bloody, bloody. No, I just want something that convey a dark message, and I'm not saying it has to be emo. You could take the route where, Christopher Nolan did with Batman, but do that with Spider-Man. That's what I want. Watch this game. I don't feel so. I agree with AJ.
Point AJ. I don't think Spider-Man's quite as deep as you're making him out to be, Fixer. I can see where you're coming from. Spider-Man does have that side to him. I don't necessarily have a problem with Spider-Man kind of being a bit more silly, I guess, but it's just...
Yeah.
The gameplay mechanics just don't match up yet.
Like, honestly, you know what they need to, you know what they need to do with the next Spider-Man game? They need to slow it down.
Yeah. The action game combo system, I'm sick of that.
You see what you're doing, you know?
But I mean, when I read that this game still has camera troubles.
Oh yeah. Like it's like, come on. I saw a video today where there was a glitch where they were showing off a boss battle. And I don't want to say too much, but the boss disappeared to the bottom of the stage. It was like, okay, you classy couldn't even stuff. Attack the boss. Great. Okay, great. Good job. Good presentation. Yeah.
Next. All right, Fixer. Ninja Theory's Enslaved, the game by the people who made Heavenly Sword, the next game. On your radar or not?
Yeah, I mean, me and you talked about this earlier tonight. I did like Heavenly Sword.
Ha! Sorry. No, did I just laugh right now?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't mean to.
By no means do I mean that it's a great game, Heavenly Sword, but I do think that, I mean, let's face the facts, when PS3 was first came out, it did not have a really good game until the first Uncharted came out. So,
yes.
Prior to Uncharted, my favorite game that came out on the console was probably Heavenly Sword. It was a rip-off God of War. Oh, yeah, I understand that. But the one point I brought up to you earlier tonight was
nearing the end of the game, you had a nice big battle, and there was a bunch of NPCs on the map, and huge battle scene going on. You were fighting in the middle of it, fighting the main bad guy. And, yeah, that was one of the first instances that really showed me that, yeah, this is what this generation is all about. These big, epic battles that, you know, the whole process and handle without slow down. To get on to my point, I think that basically Ninja Theory can continue that success. I think they can bring that over to the title. And I think that, you know, you guys kind of regard me as a PS fanboy. Okay, whatever. Cool. And I
to
think
be fair, I think Enslaved is actually multi-platform. So
Yeah, this game is multi-platform, and I don't have any worries about that. I'm excited for that. I think that Ninja Theory can bring that over to multi-platform and make it a great game. Like, will it be the best game of the year? Probably not, but I think it should be at least one to look at. Keep considering. You know, I like the art style so far. The art style looks good. As far as storyline, I don't know too much about it, but I really like the art direction. I do, you know, what I've seen of it. Looks pretty neat, though. So I'd have to say keep it on your front.
I just want to clarify, Fixer used to be much more of a PlayStation fanboy than he really is. And I think we all kind of play it up more for laughs than it really exists anymore.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny now. AJ.
This was on my radar kind of when I first heard about it in magazines a year ago. Kind of, actually, I forgot all about it. When's it come out?
I don't know exactly. It was at E3, and it looked relatively...
I heard next year, but... I mean, that's all I heard was next year. I didn't hear.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. We haven't heard February much about this game, and there's a lot of other stuff. So no, it's not on my radar.
Well, then
I'm just assuming
the point.
With my point that it's next year and not 20.
Right. Fixer gets the point for at least, I don't know, saying something about it. So there.
AJ.
Hmm.
The Cydia sequel. Unnecessary or necessary?
I will say unnecessary only insofar as I honestly believe we're getting to the end of the PSP's life. If you take that factor out, sure, why not? People like Dissidia. Why not get another one with more characters? That makes perfect sense.
But you're saying unnecessary, though.
No, I'm going to go with that. I'll go with necessary. I'll say necessary.
Hmm. Fixer.
Split answer.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with necessary. Fixer brings up a good point.
I picked my answer. What are you talking?
You said unnecessary.
I'm gonna say necessary because, you know, me and you talked about this earlier tonight. I should be the perfect spokesperson of all.
See, this is unfair. You've asked him two questions now that you guys already talked about, so he knows what you want to hear.
Did Fixer say unnecessary? Fixer, did you say necessary?
I said necessary.
Go ahead.
And, you know, basically. And I didn't know, AJ, we didn't talk about Dissidia. What we talked about was PSP's lifespan. Right? And how I should be the perfect demographic. And I don't have one. Ironically, as much as I do like the Sony brand and it's been in my life for the past years, I don't have a PSP. But for the people who do, I believe Dissidia is cool. And I do believe that they deserve it. And I know that, you know, as far as PSP titles go, I know it hasn't been smash hit after smash hit, but I know Dissidia has been one of the more favorable titles. So, for the loyal who did get a PSP and a go, I think they do it. So, yeah.
Is this even going to come out on the PSP Go?
Fixer, you know what I think you deserve?
What's
a
that?
Point.
Oh, thank you.
So there you go. All right, Fixer. Kinect or PlayStation Move?
Oh, man. Particularly, do I like any of them? No. But I do have to side with the Move.
Here's shocking.
Yeah. Here's a couple reasons. I'm not really sold on the Kinect. It doesn't seem... much more to me, other than voice commands, it doesn't seem much to me more than what happened already with the PlayStation Eye from PlayStation 2. You know,
You were doing the same shit. I'm not seeing anything that much innovative. And I'm not saying that Move is very innovative either. It's fucking ripping off the Wii. Okay? That's very obvious. At least it's ripping off the Wii without making you buy an attachment. You don't have to buy the Wii Motion Plus or the Move Motion Plus. It's already got it built in. And one thing that it has over the Kinect is, this is part of the campaign slogan, but I have to agree with it, buttons. I mean, I like them. I like them on my Wiimote. Why would I not like them on the Move? I never really liked my experiences with PlayStation Eye, so why am I going to like it with the Kinect? Other than have to have my friends come into the room and fuck with my DVD playback while I'm trying to watch a movie. I'm not going to like that. I prefer buttons. I prefer force feedback. So, yeah. I'm going to go with the Move. Now, it's a technology that's already been out. I'm sticking with it.
I can
even
tell
if it is a ripoff, going with it.
Waiting to pounce on this one. All right, Asgard.
Yes. All right, Kinect. First of all, let me just say my straight-up just Kinect answer here. Whereas, yes, the PlayStation Move is like a refinement of Wii Motion Plus and everything, Kinect is something completely different. Like,
Fixer claims it's not different. Fixer claims it's like the
I'm gonna get to that. Like, and you know, not only does it provide different gaming experiences, but it also provides very interesting interface control experiences, which I'm equally looking forward to.
So the big selling point is the way you can control the interface.
Right.
I don't like that.
Wait, really? That's
See,
your big selling
I'm
point.
I'm afraid of
no,
my
it's one
of.
Friends Fixer,
coming
Fixer,
in.
Let
yeah,
AG
hey,
talk.
You're done.
Let
you're AG done.
Talk.
I waited.
I can jump in because I'm the host. You let, yes. you let AG talk.
Okay.
Now
like,
listen.
I like Fixer very
listen.
Sheepishly going, okay.
First of all, the whole buttons thing. If you design the games that don't need the buttons, then you don't need buttons. Everyone thinks like motion control video games and they just like imagine playing like SOCOM. You're not going to play SOCOM using the Kinect. Okay? It's not how it works. So just get that out of your mind. It doesn't matter. It's a non-issue. Then I'm fucking sick. I'm really fucking sick, actually, of people comparing the Kinect to the iToy for two reasons. First of all, not even the same. It's 3D motion detection. It detects your body, not just like a vague picture of you against the background that it thinks may or may not actually be you. Did you see the way that the Yourself Fitness works, where it puts the 3D model of your outline in the game? Yeah, that's not a camera. That's like a depth sensor. Two. Was that clapping I heard?
That's me just wanted to eject.
Fixer, you're not allowed to talk. Keep
I
going,
know.
Agent.
Shut up.
Shoot. Okay.
No, you told what? Me to shut up, you.
Yeah, I'll tell him to shut
what
up.
What games
up.
Came out for the iToy? Like, a fucking Sega minigame collection and a Sony minigame collection, and that was pretty much it. So you can't say, oh, I don't like the Kinect, I don't like the iToy, because there was nothing for the iToy. So just, that's just, ugh, go away. Also, you say you don't have to buy any add-ons for the Sony PlayStation Move. Well, except the fucking camera, and you need to get the navigation controller, and you're going to need four controllers per person and four navigation controllers, so you, like the total cost of a complete setup is like $200-some, or you just buy a Kinect and be done with it. So I don't buy that argument either. So I'm looking forward not only to just motion-controlled games with the Kinect, but regular games that are enhanced by the Kinect, not even just necessarily for motion control. I mean, imagine like a Ghost Recon game where you can use hand signals for squad commands, or just imagine any game.
I'm imagining
that's like,
it, and I have to say, you look pretty gay in my head.
Shut up. No gayer than anyone's ever looked waving a Wii remote. But just imagine too, because it can accurately track your face's position because it could see it in space. Imagine like if you had
okay,
face tracking.
Fixer. You're not allowed to talk over him
yes.
during his time.
Imagine
no
if you had
how long he may go and how much he may rant.
Imagine the face tracking and like the next, you know, like a first person shooter or a racing game. It would be awesome. Done. Okay. There.
I love getting the two fanboys together.
Mike, all right. You've already played Gran Turismo. You already know how it already motion tracks your head. That's with the stupid webcam with PlayStation. It doesn't Fixer, have to be the PlayStation.
You're not allowed to try to persuade me. All right. AJ gets the point because I'm afraid he'll have a conniption if I don't give it to him.
Can I rebuke on this?
No.
Yes, you may.
Okay. First off,
and
You're acting like so calm. You're not going to be playing like that. When clearly they've already shown videos of people already acting out like they're going to be soldiers. And then the whole retarded ass, obviously paid family sitting down on the couch, which we already know you can't do with the Kinect. You have to be standing.
Play no, you don't.
I don't know. I think you might have playing? To be standing.
You do no,
have
you to don't.
Be standing. You do have
no,
to
you
be
don't.
Standing.
No, you don't. Yes, I'm you telling do. You, you don't.
Okay.
And then
look,
on top of
listen,
that.
Listen, stop, stop.
Do
I
you
tell
really
want to
play a racing game without a steering wheel?
No, but I'll play a racing game with a steering wheel that uses additional functionality in my body, enhancing
look,
it.
Okay,
even
suck.
Forza. I'm a Gran Turismo fanboy, but even Forza. Do you really want to play? I'm not even going with the move on this. Do you really want to play a video game without a steering wheel? I don't even
know.
Really
no,
like
I never said I did. Never said I did. I want to play something that I haven't even thought of yet that can only be done with Kinect.
Like what? Like my
I don't
yeah.
know. That's the whole point.
That's the point I'm making too. Is there's
Here's the thing. We know
motion.
Exactly. We know exactly what we're capable of getting with the move. It's what we've got on
the
Wii, just in HD.
The best.
We don't know what the Kinect can do yet. Someone, did you look at like friggin' Child of Eden? That's completely new.
And I've
never played a game like
that
before.
Little Chinese girl try playing with the tiger, and you know what? That's not cool. But there is Milo. Milo's a joke. I don't care.
If
I'm going to do something, I at least want something that's already been proven to somewhat work.
Listen, I'm talking now. Take away a point. But doesn't Child of Eden have an option for just standard control? So how crazy can that really be?
Just the way that you can actually like use your body as like
listen,
instead
okay.
of like
listen,
instead of playing res.
Listen, I'm the host. I get the last word on this.
Mm-hmm.
Both these things are probably going to suck.
Yes,
AJ,
that's the point I'm making.
I think you're
too.
Way too hopeful about the Kinect. If you really think you're going to be having some meaningful new experiences with it, I'm sorry. Just everything that I've seen, and it just looks kind of I don't know. Not. I think you are overstating the technology that thing actually has.
Here's just one really quick point. People complain that there's not like a AAA game coming for the Kinect. How many AAA games do you know
of
that took a year to make? I didn't say. I'm not saying you. I just said people. Quit being defensive.
Oh.
Okay. But no, I mean, how many AAA games do you know that took a year to make? It's going to take a little bit of time before we get, like, the really good hardcore gamers games for this thing.
Oh, I agree. For both technologies.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a hardcore gamer game for the Kinect ever. That's
the one thing,
I
mean...
No, we're done.
One thing,
please.
Can
no,
you...
Fixer...
Hang on. I'm not disagreeing.
I know you're not disagreeing, but I'm just tired of this topic.
But I want a question answered for me, though, first.
Okay, fine.
One thing I know about, you know, like, Move and... You know, I've said this on various occasions where I like how they're implementing it into games that are made for normal, you know, like DualShock. You know, like there is like even like SOCOM coming out.
Like with Resident Evil.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
In Resident Evil too, where you can play it on the DualShock, but you can also play it with the Move. Is there any games like that going with the Kinect, where you can do Kinect or the gamepad?
That's what we know.
No?
Point fixer.
Okay.
Wait, you gave it to me already.
No, not literally.
Oh.
I mean, he made a point. You won the point. Okay, listen, guys. Here's where we are. You guys are tied. We have the lightning round. Here's how the lightning round works, Fixer. Listen very carefully because people mess this up. AJ always wins the lightning round. And he always wins the game. I'm getting sick of it. Lightning round. I have 5 questions right in a row. I don't stop in between them. I give you one thing or the other. Like, it'll be much more stupid and random and silly this time. Like, I'll say green or red. You have to say which one you think immediately. You don't take turns. Speed counts. And right after that, I go on to the next one. I do the 5 until we're done. Okay?
Okay.
You ready then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. Liquid or solid?
Solid.
Liquid.
Bottle or can?
Can.
Bottle.
Iced tea or hot tea?
Iced tea.
Oblivion or Oathkeeper?
Oblivion.
Oathkeeper.
Donald or Uncle Scrooge?
Uncle Scrooge.
Oh, man. The winner by 1 point is Ash Guy.
Damn it!
Why?
One.
I wish people could see how intense I actually get during a lightning round. I like close my eyes. I lean forward.
After
I concentrate.
I said can, I was like, man, I should have said bottle because I really like bottle beer better more than I like canned beer. I bet that was my downfall too.
No, yeah, well, yeah, it was. It was.
I mean, damn it!
You missed that, the T1 and the Donald Reckless Scrooge one. You got the Keyblade one, which I don't even know if you guys knew those were Keyblades, Oblivion and Oathkeeper, but there they were.
I just said Oblivion.
I said Oathkeeper.
Keyblades.
It's the time.
Let's go to our week in gaming, because I got the new Kingdom Hearts game. Birth by Sleep on PSP.
How is it?
I love it so much. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be too unpredictable, but I mean, it's like...
Did you play the demo I gave to you?
No. Fixer, stay on topic. We'll get there. But, okay, so did that DS Kingdom Hearts game, did that come out this year, AJ?
Yes.
Now, that game was kind of neat. It was kind of like, look how much this is almost like a Kingdom Hearts game. And it kind of did a mission structure instead of just being like a normal game. And it was kind of neat, but it was kind of, you know, at the same time, not quite there.
It was a port of a cell phone game.
That's not true. That's the next Kingdom Hearts game.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. My bad.
Yeah, Coded is not out here yet. That will be a port of a cell phone game when that comes out.
Yes.
But I'm talking about 358 days over.
Yeah, okay.
So, in my favorite PSP game so far, like, the last God of War game, that Chains of Olympus, I loved it because it was pretty much just, like, a PS2 God of War game. Whereas something like Peace Walker, for instance, instead of just being like a Metal Gear Solid game exactly, they had to do like the weird mission structure and like, oh, look at all this other stuff you can do, which is kind of supposed to keep you busy, but whatever.
Which, you know me, being a fanboy of any franchise, Metal Gear Solid, and that is what Metal Gear is.
And the fact that you don't even, the fact that you are such a Metal Gear Solid fan, you haven't even cared about Peace Walker or someone telling. But,
no.
But, you know, I love Birth by Sleep because it has the production values, like the same quality of production values as Kingdom Hearts 2 did, which was a great-looking game. It looks like it has the good music and everything. And, you know, it has a similar structure. It's a little different in that. Richie, you'll like it first off in that it doesn't have the three-hour-long intro thing.
Thank God.
The intro's about literally like a half an hour long. Then what you do is there's three different characters and they each have their own story to play through. So you get to do them in any order. Then I imagine there will be something at the end right now. But
have you finished the story yet?
I'm very close to finishing my first character story, I think.
The only thing I heard that kind of sucks is the other two stories, it's a lot of retreading.
Right, because
it's not like a completely different thing.
No, no, from what I understand, they all go to the same worlds and stuff like that. And I guess like some people are annoyed that like, you know, you kind of level up this one character and you get all these sweet spells and stuff. Then when you restart, you're back at square one. So, but, you know, I guess... I don't know if that annoys me yet because I haven't done it yet. I'm still kind of with my first character.
So here's my two basic questions for you. What does this do to significantly improve on Kingdom Hearts 2? And what things that... Well, you think that game's damn near perfect. So what things that I complained about are still in this one?
Okay, things that I think it does better than Kingdom Hearts 2. The way it handles magic, I really like. It's you make a deck... And don't think cards when I say deck, but you have, let's say you have three slots to begin for magic, and you kind of gain magic. And you can assign magic or items, but typically magic to the slots. And what it is when you use the spell, there's a cooldown on it. There's no mana, it's just a cooldown. And you just wait for that spell to be available again. In the meantime, you can use one of the other spells. And eventually, like through certain checkpoints in the game, you'll have it. So like I have like eight slots right now for spells.
Okay.
And you can get
that.
And here's the other cool thing is, did you play Crisis Core?
Yes.
Remember the materia system in that game, how materia not only leveled up, but you can meld materia together? The magic system works pretty much exactly like that.
Okay. But I actually like Crisis Core a good deal.
Here's the one neat thing, though. When you combine the two things, you can also combine a separate crystal that'll add some sort of benefit to your spell. Like, for instance, it'll be like, it'll increase the number of money balls that drop. Or your all of your spells will recharge faster. And as you have that spell equipped, then you have that ability. But if you max out that spell, then you will always have that ability, even if you unequip that spell.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's incentive to constantly be leveling up spells, and then as soon as they're leveled up, try to meld them into some new spell right away. So
it's kind of like min-maxing, but once you've maxed, you could start maxing something
else.
Right,
and you get...
That's cool.
By the time you got all these new abilities, and you get some... and like almost by accident, you have just these awesome spells by the end.
Cool.
And stuff like that.
Any more spaceship?
No spaceship levels anymore.
Those even in number two?
Yeah, they were. They were a lot better in two, the gummy
shit. Yeah, they were better in two.
As far as like things you don't like, I mean, look, the story is still very... I like it because I think... I admit it, I'm kind of wrapped up in all of the Kingdom Hearts lore, as it were. I know that a lot of people kind of see it as sort of dumb, but I am into it. Like, what don't you like about Kingdom Hearts 2, AJ? You never... I know you don't like Kingdom Hearts 2.
Well,
the your Solid series. Trust me. I understand.
The slow beginning was the thing
that's not there anymore.
It's just... Let me ask this. Particularly, like, all the cutscenes. Are they just tighter, I guess, is my question?
You know what is this about it? And it's... Look, there's obviously a lot of fluff still. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of the Japanese fluff.
But, I mean...
But, let me explain. You're in each level of the game much shorter. Whereas you might spend a couple hours, like in Kingdom Hearts 1, you were in that Tarzan world for maybe 3 hours. You'll probably spend half an hour to an hour in each world in this game. What this means is that the micro stories that develop in each world, which are usually just kind of bland retellings of the Disney movies, to be honest, it doesn't bring the story to as much of a halt as it did in the other Kingdom Hearts games.
What I mean, though, is, like, you watch the cutscene in Kingdom Hearts 2, it almost felt like they were in, like, they thought there were going to be text boxes that you'd have to skip, so the dialogue didn't flow very well. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess.
Is that better?
I don't know what you. Maybe I don't know what you mean.
Like, I don't. It's just if there was like a conversation going on in Kingdom Hearts 2, the characters would be like, I don't know. Just let me try to think of some scenario. Like, I don't know. We need to go find the king. I think he might be over in the town.
I
think you could be right. Instead of saying, we need to find the king, I think he's in the town. Yeah, that sounds right. Like, you know what I mean?
Look, it's not Uncharted 2.
Yeah, I know, but I think it should be. Can't it be?
Okay.
Listen,
this is my problem with you guys. And look, I already see this game. It's getting like 70s and 80s. And I'm starting to get mad. This is becoming now. This anti-Japanese thing that's been happening. Like, you especially. You're there. You're part of this. Mister, I'm so mad about the cutscenes in Metroid Other M. I'm going to rant about it. Look, I'm sorry. They don't have Uncharted 2 quality voice acting. They just don't.
No, it's not even the voice acting. It's editing. It's literally, there's just too much of a pause. Delete the pause. I don't understand why they can't do that. And not all Japanese games do that.
Like, which ones don't?
Well, Final Fantasy 13, for one.
Oh, okay.
Conversation at least flowed.
Okay, then I don't know. I think this flows just as well as 13. I still don't really know exactly. See, to me, this is a problem I didn't think that Kingdom Hearts 2 even had. So it's hard for me to.
And it's just when you're like you said, these games were kind of retellings of Disney movies, and so that already puts a very high, I guess, pedigree in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks nice. It just always annoyed me that I don't know. It's just something about it always felt off. It just wasn't moving the way it should.
I mean, I think the voice acting itself is really good. Probably the worst voice actor is the guy who's doing Terra. He's still fine, but he's just a little too...
That's what I heard. The guy, he sounds like he's just being real emo.
Yeah, he's a little too stereotypical that character that we see in all of these games. He's kind of that. The girl, whoever does the girl does a great job, though. Oh, and by the way, you know who does the voice of the villain?
It's Leonard Nimoy,
right,
isn't it?
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
And when I saw your tweet about Scrooge McDuck being in the game, basically said, shit, I have to play this
game. He was in Kingdom Hearts 2, but I was disappointed because he wasn't voice acted in it. But he has the guy is there doing the voice in this one. Which, by the way, he's 91 right now.
I know.
I hope they better... I want them to, do the Scrooge McDuck movie just before he dies. Like, it's not to be morbid, but please, let's get on that.
Yeah.
But, look, basically... But,
didn't they do, a DuckTales movie?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, listen. But a couple things this is missing. You do not go to whenever you go to a world, you don't, have somebody from that world, be your partner, necessarily.
You're always fighting by yourself, right?
There's certain, sometimes a specific battle someone will fight with you for, one battle. That'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, you're fighting on your own. There's a really neat thing with the combat system where, depending on what spells you do, you're constantly filling up, let's call it a limit meter for all extents and purposes, but it fills up a lot faster. If you just do basic attack something up, when your limit meter fills, you just get to do a stronger attack. If you do some fire spells, then you're able to do these. You're able to kind of go into a mode where you're you know, you're doing fire attacks, and then, like, that'll go into a limit breaker of its own, and then you do, like, the big fire attack or something like that. Depending on what kind of spells you do, you turn into, like, these different modes and stuff like that. There's a lot of nuances to the battle system. I won't go into all of them to bore you, but needless to say, it's fun, and it's active, and it keeps it going. But, I mean, I am a pretty huge fan so far. That's all I'll say.
Ooh.
Unless there's anything else to say. All right, guys, I feel like this has been going pretty long. What have you guys been playing? Anything else you need to talk about?
I do, actually.
Okay.
It was BioWare DLC week, man.
Oh, jeez.
Actually.
Did you get that Witch Hunt?
Yes. Let me get that one out of the way.
I heard it was...
It's good, not great. And your mileage will vary basically depending on the ending you got in Dragon Age Origins.
Let me ask you this. My character's dead in Dragon Age Origins. Does this mean anything to me?
Not really.
See, that's what seems weird to me.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Dragon Age, because we all know, like, Dragon Age was being made even before Mass Effect 1. And the way DLC in general works in this game is really clunky. And it just seems like it wasn't entirely planned from the start for it. It's just kind of a fault of the times. So, that aside, like, basically, if you played a character that did Romance Morrigan, this makes sense for you, I guess. And it made a lot of sense for my character, and I liked the way it went for my character. The good stuff... First of all, I haven't played Dragon Age in a really long time, I realize. I almost had to, like, reorient myself to it, but it made me remember how good of a game it is, because I'd, like, got through the first battle, and I was like, man, I love this game.
Sure.
You start off with the dog is your only party member to start with, which is cool, because I never used him much, so it's kind of fun to have an excuse to use him. An elf warrior joins you named Ariane, and then a human mage named Finn, who's mostly healer, joins you, and that's just your party for this DLC. Finn, he's basically Alistair. He's, you know, the funny, sarcastic British guy,
right.
Except he's a bit cowardly, so he's got that form. But, you know, you go through a couple dungeons, do some combat, good times. There's a really cool boss fight at the end. Then, I don't want to give it away, but it just ends very abruptly. Like, I thought there was going to be a whole nother, like, chapter
to it,
so to speak.
They're basically promising that this was going to tie up the loose ends of Dragon Age. Did it?
Not really.
Yeah, I thought so.
I didn't really think there was anything that needed tied up. I don't know.
See, here's my problem. This is why I have no interest in Awakenings, this, or anything. Like I said, my character died at the end of Dragon Age, and I was completely okay with that. It made complete sense from what I envisioned my character's story being. I love the way the ending turned out. And, like, all this DLC is frankly, like, a slap to the face for me.
Well, there is the stuff like Leliana's Song, which is it's just its own separate story where you play as Leliana. Guess, there's the Darkspawn Chronicles.
But, like, let's say, like, especially this one, though, where it's like, see what go back and find Morrigan. I'm dead.
Yeah.
What do I care about more?
Well, and even Awakenings, I mean, you can make a new character and just make it that character's
like
story.
That, like,
it's a
might
semi-sequel.
Make sense, but why is, like, some other Grey Warden going to go after Morrigan?
Right. Then there's two bugs with the game. The one I did not encounter, where she sometimes won't recognize whether or not you participated in the Dark Ritual. If you played the game, you know what that is. If not, don't worry
did
about
you,
it.
Did you, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a large part of why this DLC was intriguing to me. And that worked for me. It wasn't a problem. The big problem is it doesn't create the autosave at the end of the DLC so that, like, you could then take that character and import it into another piece of DLC, because I have Awakenings, but I haven't played it yet. So I was like, oh, now that I finish this, I'm going to go play Awakenings. And there is no way to continue with this character who gained 3 levels and got some good loot during this DLC.
Yeah,
so
no problem.
Yeah. Although, on the other hand, too, I guess Awakenings takes place 6 months after the game ends. This takes place a year, so maybe I should do the other order anyway.
Whatever.
That doesn't really matter. So they say they're aware of it. They're fixing it. So, like I said, if this story aspect of it appeals to you, the gameplay is just, it's just the game. So if you don't think you need more of it, you don't. But if you just want to see the story, go for
like
it.
Like I said, when I beat the game, I beat the game.
Okay. Now let's go to the Mass Effect. I got the Shadow Broker DLC. I also got Project Overlord.
Pokemon Mass Effect.
Well,
storyline-wise.
You don't even know what's going on. This is all going to sound like mumbo-jumbo to you. and it won't spoil anything. Project Overlord, just to do that one real quick, it's just like a mission where you go to defeat this rogue VI. it's actually really, really good. I kind of glanced over this when it first came out, but it's excellent. Hmm. You get a new vehicle in this one. It's called the Hammerhead, which controls a hell of a lot better than the Mako did. It's actually really fun to drive around in. You just get some really good combat encounters with the Geth, and a really cool final encounter. Like this, this is weird to say. The acting in the end was really excellent, actually, vocally and visually. Like, I was kind of impressed. What they do so well in the DLC for Mass Effect is whatever characters you have in your party, it does a really good job of fitting them into it as well. For example, to keep it vague, there's a lot of fighting Geth in this particular DLC. I had the character Legion in my party, so Mike, you know what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
And so the guy I came across in this DLC was just like, you know, is your team member here going to be a problem? And you're like, he's fine. Like, just stuff like that is really cool that they think to do it.
Right.
So now to Shadow Broker. This is the best DLC I've ever played for any video game ever.
Okay.
It is amazing. I mean, it's really, really, really good.
Now why?
Okay, so particularly if you know, like Liara from the first game, you know, obviously you get her in your party in this DLC. And she's just in your party for the DLC. At the end of it, she doesn't, like, remain as a permanent character you can use because that would have been cool, but I understand why they didn't because it's a lot of work because you have to then integrate her into every possible aspect of the game, blah, blah, blah. Just from a, like, again, from a storytelling perspective, they do a phenomenal job of the writing in this one. The banter back and forth between Shepard and Liara throughout the whole thing is just really well written. It does a good job of referencing back to things from Mass Effect 1. There's a really great joke about Omnigel in there, actually.
Huh.
Like, all that's really well done. There's two boss fights in it. Both of them are excellent. Probably the best two boss fights in the game. There's a sky taxi chase sequence in this one that was, again, really well done. It was really fun. And again, it had really good banter going on through that, too. And just, there's like one part, there's like this kind of CSI sort of thing where you're trying to figure out something that happened in an apartment. And just like in that one scene, it was just a combination of like the lighting, there was a storm going on outside, the music. It just had this mood that you didn't encounter anywhere else in Mass Effect 2. It was really cool to see how they were able to pull that off.
See,
and also there's a new battle track in the game, like musically, that was really, really, really good.
See, I bet I will end up getting all this Mass Effect 2 DLC just because I know that this stuff will be important in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, the ending to this one will definitely have an effect on 3. It has to. And, I mean, this is set up to be something you're supposed to play having beaten the game. It is kind of in-between material between 2 and 3.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really good.
All right. Fix, what'd you play?
I just recently, last week I was sick, so I played and beat Metroid Other M. I really enjoyed that
game. Oh, you beat it?
Yeah.
Cool. Now, AJ has not, and also for...
No, I told you, I like the game.
No, I just said you didn't beat it, that's all.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, also, we can't talk about spoilers anyways, but what'd you think?
No. Oh, I loved it. You know, I... huge fan of Super Metroid, absolutely huge, and you know, this game reminded me of that. You know, it's not 100%, you know, like, it's not constantly a side scroller, you know, it's still got its, you know, but that's what makes it cool though, because it takes what's cool about Super Metroid and what's new and works with this current generation and kind of combines it. And it didn't get too gimmicky either. When you play the Prime 3 especially, opening up doors, you had to, like, hold your hand out, push your arm, you know. Didn't make you do that kind of stuff. The only, quote-unquote, gimmick that I really game, first-person shooter. But, you know, that wasn't exactly much of an advantage. And the boss fights were actually... had difficult.
That was my favorite part of the game, were the boss fights. Those were really good, I thought.
Absolutely great. You know, this was like an old school game. You know, this is a side, you know, basically I look at this as like a side of things for this year from Nintendo. Is like, if you look at E3, this is like, I hate to say this, but this is like their I'm sorry year to gamers like us. this is going to be an amazing year. And this is just the first title in a long series to come. And it was absolutely wrong. It has, like I said, new, old, a little bit of everything in between. It just worked. So unique an experience.
What did you think? The story has bothered a lot of people, AJ included. What did you think of the story?
Don't care about it. Now, like, I'm not playing the game. It's Metroid. I don't care. I'm a bounty hunter. I kill things that like to make Metroid. Okay, that's all I need to know. As far as that goes, okay, you're giving her a little bit of character. I appreciate it. I don't need it. Let's put it this way. I haven't seen the movie Expendables yet, but I'm going to go see the movie Expendables. And I'm not going to go see it because I'm going to go see it because it's experience and fun that an action movie, considering 3 decades of action stars, can bring to us. I'm not going to go see it because I want to see Sylvester. Why he's the good guy. I don't care. That's why I don't care why St. Mrs. the girl is shown. Very, very, very vulnerable female. Don't care. Play it because she's Samus. And she kicked ass.
Any rebuttal, Edge Guy?
Nah. I think I said my piece in this game.
Yeah, I think we've...
And this is also, like, our longest podcast ever, so...
Fair enough. It's not our longest ever. All right, then.
Part of that one.
No, you weren't. I think we did one time, like, really early on. We had no sense of pacing. All
right. Oh, just a real quick throw out, too. There's some kind of event going on in World of Warcraft right now. It's the taking back of Nomragon. It's actually really cool.
I need to do that. I can't. All right, anyways, here are the releases this week. NHL 11 for 360 and PS3. Always a well-reviewed game. Mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep for PSP. I can't recommend it enough. GameSpot, I don't understand why GameSpot gave it a 7.5. I just don't get it. It's so good.
Talked about clunky platforming.
What? No.
And repetitious music loops.
If you base a game on 5 out of 10 as being average, then it's good.
No one uses that scale, and we all know it.
If I were reviewing games, that's how I would.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that. You are failing unless you're above a 7.
The Kingdom Hearts games to me are the absolute best examples of an action RPG. Like, an action/RPG. Not one more so than the other. Alright, anyway. Fanboy, I know. Ruth for 360, PS3, and PC. Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions for... is that really just 360? No, PS3.
No, it's
also
PS3 as well.
Right. Amnesia The Dark Descent, PC. Batman, The Brave and the Bold, the video game for Wii. Start the Party for the PS3. Is that a Move game?
Yeah, I heard about that one. It's going to be great. No, I really haven't heard about it.
NHL Snapshot for the Wii. Sports Champions for PS3. Oh, Shattered Dimensions also came out for the Wii. Tony Clancy's Hawks 2 for PS3 and 360. Because I know everyone was clamoring for a sequel for that one.
That's I Want to Be Ace Combat, right?
Yeah. And Kung Fu Rider. Kung Fu Rider, the worst looking PlayStation Move game for the PS3. All right.
Kung Fu what?
Rider. Don't even ask. You're in a shopping cart. It's dumb. I actually played it.
Okay. Or an office chair.
It's dumb. I hate it.
I thought that was the one where, like, we're on the eye and did Kung Fu. So that one.
No.
Okay, cool.
I don't even know that's an actual game.
It is, and people said it's not as good as you would think.
Anyways, thank you.
Which I didn't think it'd be that good, so.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at... and you can see us at the iTunes Music Store, the Zoom Marketplace. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
Have we mentioned the Season 2 of Squadron of the Same Squadcast at all
here? I'm sure we have at some point, but it's definitely up. So please check out Squadron of Shame for us.
I like the hot shit, horse shit segment on that show.
If you don't, I'll fucking fix you.
Fixer will do that, guys. All right. Fixer, thanks for joining us.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me once again.
Yep.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Hang on. Before we leave. Sorry, Mike's Canadian friend, but our bacon's a lot better. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye, everybody.
Later.